a keg of beer.
All I hear is some tasty waves, cool buzz, and I'm fine.
It's butt cold out here, and I'm fresh out of beer.
I'm back! You can rally!
Woo! That's cute. I remember when I had my first beer.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you? Sucking back on Grandpa's old cough medicine?
Why do you want that beer so bad?
Because he's thirsty, dummy.
Not to indulge in any alcohol, drugs, sex after 12, or any other illegal activity.
I had a beer with the old biker man at the end of the street, and he let me touch his old lady's titty.
Good man. You set him up, and I'll knock him back, Lloyd. One by one.
Pack her ass, my good man. Time to kick back, drink some beers, and smoke some weed.
When I was your age, my dad shared a beer with me, and I thought it was not the best thing in the world.
And just like the movies, we play out on the last scene. You won't cry, I won't scream.
Hey, everybody. It's your old pal, The Voice, here with your typical weekly Wednesday released episode of Drunk at the Movies. But wait, not really. See, this week I'm going to let you guys enjoy a little bit of a treat. There's a new show I've been working on that was organically created from conversation on Drunken Lullabies. And it is a new show with my friend Jason, the Bottle Cap Kid, and also my friend Derek, a.k.a. Hoover, who you've heard both of these gentlemen on Drunk at the Movies and Drunken Lullabies before, but we're starting a new monthly show called The Importance of Seeing Ernest. And we are going to take you on a monthly journey through the entire Ernest P. Worrell film catalog. So our first episode comes out tomorrow, March 15th, but Drunk at the Movies comes out on the 14th. So we're going to give a little sneak preview for you subscribers of Drunken Lullabies. You get the episode a day early. Make sure if you enjoy it to subscribe, look up The Importance of Seeing Ernest, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and all that, and write us an email and we will read it on the next episode, which will come out April 15th. Every month on the 15th, we will have the new episode. So, hopefully you enjoy it. We'll be back next week with our regular Drunk at the Movies shenanigans. I'm not sure what movie we're watching yet, but I'm pretty sure it's a John Hughes one. So, stay tuned for that. And until next time, you don't have to be drunk to enjoy Ernest, but it doesn't hurt.
It's the Ernest P. Worrell with a story and a moral and a big chuckle, hip trip, double dip, super supreme show. You know what I mean?
Yo!
Hey, Vern!
Hey, Vern!
Hey, Vern, it's me. I'm on TV.
Hey, Vern. It's your old friend Dustin, back with a new podcast, and I'm joined by my friends. Who are my friends?
I'm a friend, Jason.
The Bottle Cap Kid.
I'm the Bottle Cap Kid, and I'm your friend.
And?
I'll be your buddy. My name's Hoover.
I'll be your Huckleberry.
I'll be your Huckleberry.
All right, so we got Dustin, we got Derek, and we got Jason, and we are here for The Importance of Seeing Ernest. Now, you may be asking, what is The Importance of Seeing Ernest? Well, it all started as a reoccurring joke on the podcast Drunken Lullabies, which is one of my other podcasts.
It's pretty good.
And it soon became so much more than that. Three friends decided to embark on a journey that will take them to fond reminders of childhood, as well as some new content they've never watched before. We will be sitting down together, watching every Ernest program in chronological order, and then recording a podcast about each show, which you're listening to the first one right now. From local commercials to Ernest in the Army, of one that is, this is The Importance of Seeing Ernest, the comprehensive an encyclopedic compendium of all things Ernest. This is good film making. I think I did too many ums there. But
never too many ums.
Yeah, feel free to follow along with us in this journey. You can find us on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com/seeingernest, we got a Twitter. I believe it's seeingernest, yeah, as well. And we have an email, which I believe it's just seeingernest@gmail.com.
Yeah, that's what it
so,
is.
So, yeah, just type in seeingernest because that's what you're going to be doing. You're seeing Ernest.
And you're hearing us.
It's great.
Now, who are we? Who are we to decide that we're important enough to be talking about Ernest P. Worrell? Fun fact, do you know what the P in Ernest P. Worrell
stands for? That was something I was going to ask because I didn't
you
know.
You do. Derek.
Power Tools.
It is correct. Circle gets the square. Ernest Power Tools Worrell.
Why?
Very.
Why I don't it? Know. Why is because it? As you will find out later, he is not very handy.
I'm going to say why is because the South.
Why not?
Why not?
Where did you guys find out that was the middle name? Because I had no idea.
Internet.
The interwebs, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can find anything on there.
I hopped on the Googles.
Yeah. So apparently that is his middle name is Power Tools. But Ernest Gets Handy was never an episode.
You think that Harvey Weinstein would executive produce that?
So, why, you know, again, why are we here? Jason and I are podcasters already. We've got a plethora of shows that we are a part of.
Some would say too many shows.
Yeah, and my girlfriend may be one of them. And then I was like, hey, babe, we're going to do this other show, but it's only going to be once a month, so.
What was her response?
She was like, really?
Just a massive sigh.
But, you know, she's used to it at this point. She's very supportive, listeners. I don't want to, you know, make it sound like she's not. What are we going to call our listeners? We got to figure that out. Vernonites?
Vernonites, because we're talking to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Much
yeah.
in the fashion of Ernest.
Vernonites it is. That just came off the old dome there.
I don't know who follows The Walking Dead, but the people who follow Negan, they all call themselves Negan. So I think we're all Vern,
yes.
Right? All of us in some sense are Vern. Vern.
That's yeah. right. It's a hive mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Jason, you've got some shows that you've been participating in over the past few years. Why don't you let the Vernonites know?
Okay. Sure.
What's your background? And if people enjoy what you're talking about, where can they find more? We'll do that as our introduction.
Okay. Yeah, I've been podcasting for coming on 5 years. I worked about 200 episodes of It Burns When I Pee, as well as the new program, Broken Funny Bone. I've been doing that for a few months, and I've been doing couch pilots for the past few years. And
yes. Welcome, all my friends, to the promo for Couch Pilots, the podcast that dares to fly into the unknown territory of awful television pilots of the past. Won't you please join Captains Philip Restisher and me, the Black Magnet, as we take you on a voyage that you never knew you wanted to go on of TV shows that had only one episode. We'll time travel digitally in our minds to the year the pilot was released, pull back the curtains to reveal facts that may or may not be interesting, chat with those involved with the making of the show, give you a detailed analysis of the plot, unearth reviews from around the world, and provide you with our own special brand of rating. So click on a classically blue link, high-five our faithful tarmac worker DSJ, and earn a variety of goods and services rendered by becoming a frequent flyer and subscribing in Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast app of choice. Download or stream new episodes every Monday, and don't forget to rate us, leave a review, and most importantly, tell a friend. Well, these pilots are usually rough, but it's always a smooth flight here on Couch Pilots. Thanks, everyone. Hope to see you soon.
Couch Pilots, we watch TV episodes or TV shows that only one episode, and then IBWIP and Broken Funny Bone, just kind of a mishmash of just friends fucking around, basically. We can cuss, right? We're
yes.
cussing on this? Okay.
I was concerned about that because I get quite sweary, and I enjoy them.
Love to swear. Love swearing.
Fuck yes.
So, I mean, we're all adults. And let's be honest, I don't think there's too many kids that are going to be listening to this podcast because, I mean, the Ernest train ended a while ago. Now, granted, these movies are going to live forever.
Sure.
Thanks to technology and people like us and making sure they don't go away.
The kiddo at home, the nephew, knows all about Ernest.
Okay.
And for the last 2 days has been like chomping on my ear about this. Like, when do you do it? When do you start? And even today he's like, so when are you going over there? When are you starting this podcast?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, he's shockingly jacked for an 18-year-old.
Knee deep in Worrell, huh?
Like, very much so.
Forget the hoopla.
I would say neck deep in it. Ooh, like, he's just...
Neck deep, great band. But I digress. Derek, you're not a podcaster.
I'm just a featured player from time to time on various shows.
Yes.
Color commentary and drunken buffoonery.
But you are my former roommate.
Yes.
And you're also an old friend of Jason's.
We learned about Jesus and Noah.
We all know each other. Again,
in the 80s? Did we meet in the 80s?
We met in the 80s, sir.
So you've known each other longer than Eric and I have.
OG.
I thought it was first. Was it not first grade? Was it third grade? We went to a Free Methodist Church in East Peoria, which is no longer a Free Methodist Church.
Mine cost money.
Yeah.
You had a pay-by-the-hour Methodist church?
Ours was gratis. It was gratis.
Yeah,
up there across from Fond du Lac Park. Clearest memory of you is maybe second grade.
Okay. Because I remember going there in first grade.
Did you guys play Micro League Baseball together?
We did not play Micro League Baseball.
That's cool.
I got yanked from, because we moved. We moved in, the third grade to Market Heights.
Yeah.
So, I got robbed.
Up the road on Pontiac.
On Pontiac. Well, Frontenac first.
Oh, okay.
Yes. In the planned community built
all the street names end in Ack. It's really weird.
No, they're all named after, French explorers and such.
Okay.
So, we knew each other. We went to church together for probably 7-8 years.
When's the last time you guys went to church?
When did I stop going there?
About the same time I stopped going.
96, 97?
We now worship at the House of Worrell.
Yeah, amen.
So praise be to Vern.
Hosanna in the highest.
But I've got a little bit of a podcasting background, too. If you don't know who I am, my name is Dustin. On other shows, I am known as The Voice. I host Drunken Lullabies and also Drunk at the Movies. Hey, this is The Voice. I'm here interrupting one of your favorite podcasts to tell you all about mine. If you're a fan of craft beer, independent music, pop culture, and laughing at inappropriate things, then you should check out Drunken Lullabies, brought to you by Distilled Brewery. New episodes are available on draft every Sunday, so you can spend the Sabbath getting tipsy along with us. We try beers, play songs, and laugh our asses off. So go on, indulge yourself, and become a part of Drunkamaniac Nation. And if craft beer and music aren't your thing, you can listen to Drunk at the Movies every Wednesday, brought to you by Iron Spike Brewing Company. Listen to me and my friends provide our own alcohol-fueled commentary tracks to some of our favorite movies, unedited and uncensored. You don't have to be drunk to enjoy these movies, but it doesn't hurt. Until next time, this is The Voice saying, may your music be loud, and may your beers be cold. But I got my start also on It Burns When I Pee, and did, the comedy stuff, and I'm also on Broken Funny Bone on a regular basis, and then I work on Craft Beer Digest, another beer one, so I'm excited for this one. This is as much of a passion project, I think, as I can muster right now. I really hope people enjoy this, but I will be satisfied with it just doing it myself.
This is the only podcast you do that doesn't have to do with beer.
We are drinking.
Right. That's all podcasting is. It's just an avenue for us to get some beer, right?
I want to get out of the house and an excuse to drink.
I have access to a lot of great beer, and I get it very cheap.
Usually free.
Nice. So we have tons of good beer laying around, so why not share the wealth?
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So, again, why Ernest? And I think what we could do is just go around in our little circle here and say what our introduction to Ernest was. Mine, I think, is going to be a similar one for most people. It was Ernest Goes to Camp, the first Ernest vehicle released in conjunction with Disney. That was when turn has hit the mainstream. And I found it on either home video or cable TV. I'm not sure when I saw it the first time, but I was hooked. And I watched that thing many times. Follow that up, you know, with the other movies that everybody knows. Goes to Jail, Saves Christmas,
Scared Stupid.
Oh yes.
And I was
still can't find Miak.
I was in that big earnest counterculture for several years. And so much that I acquired old stuff, old Ernest releases that once his popularity rose, they reissued a bunch of stuff. So some of these early episodes are going to be things I'm slightly familiar with, but I haven't seen them in years.
You had like VHS copies.
I had VHS copies of a lot of the early stuff. However, following Ernest Scared Stupid, by that time I was entering high school, I fell off the Ernest train.
You were Ernest counterculture?
Yeah. I checked out, you know, the Hotel California, you know, you just can't kill the beast or you can out, you can never leave. I left
Ernest in the dust.
Yeah.
Well, he's very much like, I don't know if the 80s was ripe for this or not, but like Pee Wee Herman to me is mm-hmm. kind of similar. They're both eternal children and seemingly very wholesome. Paul Reubens definitely not necessarily a wholesome person.
Yeah, he made
also, I think the background, Pee Wee was an adult character. It started on stand-up.
Yes, live performances with the Groundlings, I believe.
Yeah, and it was a lot more adult humor. Like,
yeah. Oh, sure.
One bit I remember, he was wearing, like, mirrors on his shoes, trying to look up the skirt of his friend's sister. And she's like, joke's on you. I'm not even wearing underwear. He's like, oh, gross, you know? And it's like,
got a little blue.
You're not going to get away with that on Saturday morning cartoons. But Ernest never had that kind of...
He never went to the dark side.
No,
there is no dark seedy underbelly.
He was always, I think Ernest in all of his forms was always on a screen, so he was never live in person.
No.
Yeah. It was always a screen, and in that way, it kind of pigeonholed him to be wholesome, because when you're on network television or local TV and the commercials that we're about to talk about, you can't go past a certain... You know, like, you have to be wholesome in a commercial.
Right.
Yeah. You're not getting dirty in the 80s on TV. And then
Dirty in the 80s.
What are we going to start that podcast?
Yeah.
Can we please start that podcast?
But Ernest was a very wholesome character and just remains so. When you look at like someone like Pee-wee, his movies are pretty innocent. There might be a little hints of darkness or weirdness.
There's some hints.
Couple jokes like, if Dad's taking you to go see it, like, that one's for Dad.
Yeah.
You
know?
But Ernest, again, kind of this man-child, but always very wholesome in his presentation. Mm-hmm. So,
well, and I think some of it too is Varney's background. I mean, he started in comedy at the Comedy Store.
Yeah, good friends with Robin Williams.
Robin Williams and stuff. Oh, yeah? But he didn't. To my understanding, his stand-up wasn't really raunchy or anything like that. Mm-hmm. He went right into doing the ads, and like just in real life, he was like genuinely a nice guy, just a nice fella. Like no weird seedy backstory. There's no true Hollywood story
on Jim Varney.
On Jim Varney.
No.
Well, I think similar to like a Weird Al Yankovic. I think
I'm actually seeing him later this month.
The self-indulgent tour.
The self-indulgent tour.
Was that champagne?
The Twitter sphere.
Yes. It's going to be awesome. This is going to be like my fifth Weird Al show, and it's all original songs. Right. It's not the parodies.
So he's playing smaller theaters because he knows he's not going to draw on
exactly.
That, that's
although
awesome.
I did cheat and look at set list because the tour just started a couple nights ago. He does do a medley at the end of a few parodies.
Okay.
So he throws the bone, but
the rest
of the set list, there was like, never played live.
Oh,
hasn't been played live since the 90s, hasn't been played live since the 80s.
I heard an interview.
So I'm stoked.
Yeah. He's been posting stuff on Twitter, like, this is the t-shirt, and it's like just all a bunch of phrases. This is going to be disappointing. That was our bonding moment, was Weird Al.
Sure, absolutely.
My stepmom was Gaga for your mom.
Yeah.
Like Gaga for the Ange.
Yeah.
And that led to us hanging out. My introduction to Jason was you and your friend, I can't remember his name, playing video games. And I was just sitting
there
basically with a thumb up my ass. You guys were playing Ninja Turtles. And I'm like, okay.
That game was hard.
And then you started playing like Weird Al. I'm like, all right.
I'm in.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Weird Al is he's one of those guys who, again, is very wholesome.
Yeah.
I heard an interview with him recently, and he said he had, like, I want to say 3 to 4 hours worth of just original material, and his shows are going to be about 1.5 to 2 hours.
Yeah.
So the set list, he said, throughout the tour
I made
is
a playlist
going to change.
On Spotify of all the original songs.
Does it add up to about 3-4 hours?
It's about 70-some songs.
Okay.
So yeah, it's...
He said the set list is going to change, so you probably don't know exactly what you're in it, which is kind of nice,
that
honestly.
Is fun.
But
Nature Trail to Hell in 3D. Al, please play it in Champagne.
Classic.
He's a guy who was so popular at one point, and it's still relatively popular, where he was offered, hey, we'd love to have you sell Miller Lite or Bud Light,
yeah,
or you know, or whatever the vice of the moment was,
yeah,
and he said, no, I'm not going to do it.
Just wasn't like his jam.
These are millions of dollars he's turning away to keep this image, and it's, I mean, he's never shied away from it. And I think Ernest had a similar trajectory where he was offered, you know, like Bud Light commercials and stuff, mm-hmm, like that, and he wouldn't smoke on camera. He wouldn't do any of these things.
Yeah, that was one thing. In if we're getting into Jim Varney facts, very avid smoker, chain smoker.
Yeah.
I mean,
if you couldn't tell by his voice,
yeah, especially
little
in the raspy later days, but would refuse to be photographed with a cigarette,
right,
or filmed with a cigarette because he didn't want kids to get the idea that Ernest thought it was cool to smoke.
Right.
And Ernest actually did anti-smoking PSAs, which...
Yeah, we saw one tonight.
Yes, we'll talk about it a little bit later. It's slightly ironic,
right,
unfortunately.
Grimly right.
But,
right.
Yeah, Jim Varney was just a good dude. I know you've got some info about...
You told us how you kind of got
involved with
Ernest.
I'm overstepping here.
No, that's fine. No, we went off a tangent.
Where is your ground zero for Ernest Mania?
I don't know that I've ever really seen an Ernest film all the way through,
oh,
by being completely honest.
Okay.
There's been a lot of...
get on this show?
Right. I know some guys. But I mean, I definitely grew up in the hotbed of Ernest activity, so I was always aware of him. He was always around. I definitely remember the TV show in the 90s. It was early 90s, right?
Hey Vern, it's Ernest.
Right. Was it early 90s?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I definitely remember that being on, because I was totally...
Late 80s. Late 80s.
I know. I still lived in East Peoria. That's how I... house was I in? That's how I gauged
it. It was late 80s.
I was always the kid on Saturday morning in front of a TV watching the cartoons or whatever was on. You know, like Beakman's World was on around that
Beakman's
time.
Beakman's World was great.
And whatever was on. I remember seeing chunks of it. I may have seen a whole episodes, but, and you know, parts of Ernest Goes to Camp and, uh-huh, that sort of thing. Years later, around 2000, 2002, I was working at a video store, and it was a store where it was primarily VHS,
okay,
but we had some DVD, and I remember we had like every single Ernest for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
Of which there were many.
And it wasn't like a chain store. I wasn't working at like a Blockbuster or a family. This was a mom and pop video store that I worked at.
Like Gingo Teak?
Yeah.
All right.
And the guy loved Ernest, apparently, because he had all of his... There was millions of movies we could have had out there, but out of all these, you know, we had a couple thousand films, but he had every Ernest film. So I remember seeing that all the time, and just, I could not believe that Ernest Goes to Africa was a real film.
It's a thing.
I did not know that existed till either of you said anything.
But unfortunately,
nephew knows about
you guys aren't going to hear about that one for quite a while,
because
we're only doing the show once a month, so that way we don't blow our Ernest wad too early.
Which is what we've been calling it,
Ernest wad. We want to keep you guys hungry for more. And
ironically, that's how my fiance describes my lovemaking.
Yeah.
Hungry for more.
So we just want to do one a month. Also, I think it'll help us build an audience that way, too.
Yeah.
Because, let's be honest, if we churn these out in 16 weeks, the show's going to be done before half the Ernest fans find it. So we're going to do it slowly, but chronologically. We're going to get into those movies that everybody loves later in 2018. We're going to hit the sweet spot, I think, right around the fall. And then starting next year in 2019, it's going
to
be the straight to video classics that none of us have seen. So that should
be
fun.
Ashley Schaefer there.
I don't know what that is. Oh, Eastbound and Down, Will Ferrell, looking like Ric Flair.
I remember he was in a bat fight. That's all I remember.
That's the guy.
So, Hoover, a.k.a. Derek, sorry, you may notice that sometimes his name is Derek. I'm going to try to refer to him as Derek. But
the Hoover
I just, you know, we've known each other since high school. That was back when you called each other by your last names, because that's what young guys do.
It was hip.
And we, like I said, lived together. If you asked me who my roommate was, I said Hoover. I didn't say Derek.
And it wasn't a gay thing, right?
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
No.
I don't know.
I mean, I did see his ass on a couple occasions, but that was because that was he forgot a towel.
Absent-mindedness with a towel.
So, yeah, that happened.
Air drying it out.
Air dry that shit.
Oh, the stories I could tell.
You think the cavemen had towels? They air dried it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Let it ride.
Yeah.
What introduced me to Ernest?
Yeah, what's your Ernest
It was actually your
origin
realtor.
Story.
Your realtor. We used to do these things at our house Friday night. We had sweat parties. Where it's like
a key party?
Well, we'd get this TP together and then, you know, sweat it. That's not what it was.
Okay.
No, we'd put on our sweatpants and sweatshirts and stuff, comfy clothes, and you know, I get to pick out movies and popcorn and pizza pockets. You know, fun little thing, make Friday night fun. And we're going through the video store. I'd never heard of Ernest. I'd never seen him. And there was Ernest Goes to Camp.
Mm-hmm.
That was my introduction. And I watched it. I thought it was funny. I cried, where everybody cries. You know what I'm talking about. Not looking forward to that episode.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to excuse myself. Because I'm 36 years old, but I'm still kind of a bitch.
Gee, I'm glad it's raining.
I will straight up fight you. But that was my introduction. I thought it was hilarious in all my childlike glory. I just thought it was so funny.
Well, I think we all have an appreciation. I know, Jason, you and I share a very big affinity for absurdist humor.
Yeah.
And I sometimes slapstick is worked into absurdist humor. And so, I mean, I've never been like a huge Three Stooges guy, but I am a fan of sight gags and just stupid juvenile, sophomoric behavior, Ernest falls into that category perfectly. So again, me as an 8-year old, these are some of my comedic foundations, I guess. Like, I like to think I have a pretty good sense of humor. I'm told that by a lot of people, but you know, I this is when I kind of started to find stuff that appealed to me rather than what my parents were watching.
Yeah.
Red.
Ernest was for you.
Ernest was definitely for me, not my parents.
This is mine.
But I can still watch it as an adult and find joy in it.
And it was a lot of slapstick and goofy humor. He was aimed towards young children. These things you see when you're little, they do whatever it is. It's all, you absorb it all, and it builds your sense of humor, of comedy. But, I mean, on a primordial level, there's just something funny about people fall down, right?
Yeah.
People fall down,
go boom. Yeah.
So, the character Ernest, played by Jim Varney, again, Jim Varney, classically trained actor, and he went out to Hollywood, tried to find some work, did some work on a few different shows, including one starring Martin Mull and Fred Willard.
Second City guys?
Fernwood Tonight, I think it was called.
Oh, I've heard of that.
It was like their fake talk show.
Yes.
He did some work on that show.
I didn't realize
that. Okay. And you can actually find some clips on YouTube if you want to seek those out. Huh. Again, those aren't considered Ernest catalog.
It's not Ernest canon.
So we're not going to be featuring that. But, you know, he did some other stuff. There was a writer's strike, I believe, in the late 70s, and he unfortunately had to return back home. He is settled down in the Nashville, Tennessee area, where there was an ad agency in 1980 by the name of Carden and Cherry that were looking for a pitch man for this character that they were going to create called Ernest. And it began with a commercial for a theme park that had not even opened yet or something. And they had to do a commercial, and it featured Jim Varney as this character, Ernest. And from there, it just took off, and you actually, Derek, did some research on
Carden
and Cherry.
Carden and Cherry, the
What did you find out here?
Well, they created him in 1980, so he is very much like all three of us, a product of the 80s. And they actually, John Cherry III based him on a friend of his dad's.
Okay.
Of John Cherry Jr., based him on one of his friends. I couldn't find any information on who this
friend
mystery man
was.
The proto-Ernest, if you will.
How ironic would it be if his name was Vern?
That would be mind blowing.
Yeah. I think I would kill myself if I thought that.
Well, we don't want that.
No. I value you.
Know what I mean?
We have too many episodes to do. I mean, granted, you haven't seen any of the programs before, but you got a lot to experience.
There's a lot going on. We got some things going on.
I'm the Ernest virgin of the group. I mean, I'm familiar and I've experienced some, but hardly anything to completion.
Don't pop that cherry.
Yeah, pop me, fellas.
Cheers.
Pop that.
pop me, boys.
that cherry and Carden cherry.
Ah, I see what you did there. Yeah.
Pretty good.
That's what we call a
pretty
segue,
good joke.
My friend. That's some damn fine segue, boy.
So they created him for these ads.
Yeah. The first one being for, what was that? It was a real adventure land type.
Beechwood aged theme.
Beach Bend Park.
There we go. That was it.
It was for a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader's appearance.
Can I get an amen? Know what I mean, Vern?
And that, like, while working with him, he only really pitched three national items, on a national level, three things that were, you know,
right.
Large
they were
corporate
usually
products.
Regional ads.
Yeah.
And they kind of franchised him out. And it started in the Nashville area, but then spread like wildfire. I almost said wildflowers, but I guess those spread too.
Tom Petty.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. And so, yeah. Jim's dead too. They're up in.
What?
They're.
Whoa.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry.
Hold the phone.
I forgot to mention he passed in the year 2000.
In the year 2000.
So, but yeah, Jim left behind a fantastic legacy that we are going to dissect and enjoy and consume slowly, as fine wine, and
which I know a lot about.
Which Ernest is not a fan of because he prefers Sprite because it's got that great taste of Lyman.
Lyman.
Yeah. So
something I haven't heard since like 1992. Lyman.
What we watched this week, this month, technically is not the first Ernest release on video, but it contains footage that predates the first release. So
kind of bridges a gap of about, what do you say, 3 to 5 years?
Right. If you look on IMDb and you go to the very beginning and you're looking for the first Ernest thing, what you're going to see is, "Hey, Vern, it's my family album." That's coming next month. What we're watching is the Ernest Film Festival, also known later in re-releases as Ernest's Greatest Hits Volume 1. You can find it on a bunch of different DVDs. I believe I own it on two separate DVD collections.
Of course you do.
And VHS.
So, because
again, why not?
It's called the Film Festival, right?
It's called the Film Festival. It's a yellow VHS box with Ernest holding up film strips and looking quizzically at them in only the way
as
Ernest
one does
can. But basically what this is, it is a 101 commercials and goofs.
Films. I know when I turn into ABC or whatever channel it's on, and I watch Modern Family, I watch all the little films, but in the breaks. You, all right.
Yes.
Yeah. They're
those
masterpieces.
Those little micro shows between the stories.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's right.
So we were watching that. These commercials were filmed, I would say most of them, between the years of like 82 and some, I believe, go even as far as like 85, 86.
That's
so some of them are after the Ernest character is taken off a little bit, but we're like splitting hairs at that point. So we watched the Ernest Film Festival. If you want to watch the Ernest Film Festival, here's what you do. You can pick up the DVD collection. I think it's called like Ernest Wacky Adventures, and there's a volume 1 and a volume 2. I own both of them because we need them for show content. But they have all the latter day Ernest
Saints.
Movies.
Oh,
yes.
Sorry.
And also the commercial collections. Mm-hmm. So you can find it. If you're not going to do that, just go on YouTube and look up Ernest Film Festival. And you know what to do, Tube.
Oh, thank you very much.
So, the Ernest Film Festival. Again, this is something I was familiar with. Back when I was in Ernest Mania, I went to Walmart, and they had a green VHS boxed tape. They had the winking Ernest face, you know, that everybody yeah. knows yes. that photo.
His big elastic rubber face.
Exactly. Kind of, and it's boink. Ernest Greatest Hits Volume 1. And then a purple box was Ernest Greatest Hits Volume 2. We'll be watching that in a couple months. My sister and I, we bought them together with allowance money. She bought Volume 2, I bought Volume 1. But we enjoyed them together, as siblings are wont to do. And so I have seen these commercials many times. And when I watched them for the first time in preparation for this show, I was amazed at how much I retained them yeah. and was able to recite some of the dialogue and just his delivery and the little one-liners. And it's like, I literally haven't seen this since I was in junior high.
Right.
How many times did I watch this?
Your formative yeah. years, right? It's cemented in your head
it
now.
It is. It is ingrained in my head. I can't remember my bank account number. I have it written down.
And what is that, just for the listeners?
Yeah. 112221.
Hold on.
Yep.
112221.
Niner. Okay. So, but yeah, it's an hour long, roughly, collection of all these commercials. And we have put some of these commercials on our Facebook page, facebook.com/CNErnest. But you guys weren't as familiar with the material.
I feel like I knew that he started in commercials. We saw 101, and then we saw some outtakes at the end of things I felt like we didn't see. So there's probably even more commercials than that.
He has done thousands of commercials. He was doing, I believe, at one point, as many as 25 commercials in a day.
And they were just all
for different markets. They were doing like the same ads, kind of.
Just dropping
like switching out products and stuff.
He would memorize.
He was a machine.
Script.
He was an ad machine.
And he would just boom, boom, boom through them and just switch the product each time.
Yeah.
And he'd do at least 25 a day, sometimes more. He'd do up
make
it. It's odd, right? Like who can claim that they've done thousands of commercials?
Yeah.
Is that something, like, when you watch these, it's pretty much just him looking at the camera.
Yeah.
And very few times do we see other people involved. I don't feel like there's a lot of that in commercial making anymore, where it's just one person I recognize as a character over and over, just talking to the camera.
They're all shot that way.
Well, I think the closest thing that comes to that is like
point of view porn.
Well, yeah, exactly. Which that's for all of us.
So many parallels between Ernest and pornography.
No, like if somebody's doing like radio promos,
mm-hmm.
they can
belt them off.
Quick. Yeah, like if you remember.
Hi, this is Eddie Money, and you've just won two tickets to paradise with KZ93.
Hi, this is James DeWitt, and you're listening to Drunken Lullabies.
James DeWeeze.
I had it right.
Yeah.
But that was a great add-on in Drunken Lullabies, by the way.
Thank you. I'm glad somebody noticed that. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go for it.
Yeah,
I'm
cool.
I'm gonna start doing drops. Why not?
Do it.
I'm pissed I didn't get Flogging Molly to do one. I didn't think of that before.
Well, if you look, you know, drops, exactly.
Yeah.
That's a prime example. Like, if you look back in, you don't really see him that much now,
mm-hmm.
but especially in late 80s, early 90s, just on the local level. Oprah Winfrey, for example, used to own part of Granite Broadcasting, which is WEEK,
the
local NBC affiliate. So she obviously had a vested interest in promoting her show that was franchised out there. What's the term I'm looking for here? I'm blanking.
Affiliate?
Oprah.
It's affiliate, syndicated on NBC.
Okay.
But she would sit there, much like Donahue and Maury and everybody else, just knock out promo after promo after promo after promo. They still kind of do it. Dr. Oz, the doctors, Dr. Phil.
Dr. Phil, good.
Watch Dr. Phil weekdays on
Dr. Nick Rivera. Hey, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
But those people had shows,
mm-hmm.
and they were generally like a character in a sitcom, or more likely, like Oprah, a personality.
Usually talk shows.
But this is a guy who didn't have a show.
Nope.
This is just a man who was playing a character, and he was promoting a product.
Pitch man.
Yeah.
He wasn't saying, hey, come see me, my show, no. But like, hey, buy
drink
this
Sprite.
Yeah, buy this drink dairy. This. I'm in a chimney, buy this dairy. Yeah,
you may ask.
Enjoy this sour cream.
That's right. What kind of companies did he promote? And I wrote down some of the companies that we watched these ads for. We had Sprite. Mm. We had Mellow Yellow.
Hey, Vern. It sure is hot up here, Vern. I bet you'd like a cold, smooth Mellow Yellow right now, would you? Yeah, I just bet you would. You know, Vern, there's nothing like a good old cold Mellow Yellow when you're all hot and sweaty. I think it sure beats that Mountain Dew. You know what that sound means in Russia, Vern? Empty. Vern,
Tyson Toyota, Purity, Challenge, Convenient Food Mart, Brahms, Pine State Ice Cream, Guy's Potato Chips,
United Way,
and Stinger's Ford.
Stinger's Ford.
You know, and again, there are certain bits that they would repeat with different companies. Mm-hmm. You guys are especially going to see it when we watch Volume 2 of the ads. There are going to be some that you're like, I've seen that joke before.
It's just a different name.
But it still works. Yeah, there'll be different dialogue, but, you know, the window gag. That was, right. I believe, the original reoccurring bit where Ernest interrupts Vern having breakfast, and he pokes his head in the window, and he's like, hey, Vern, you know, like, let me tell you about something.
That's the one that looked the most familiar to me. It's popping through the window.
That was the...
Yeah.
And then it ends with one his hands always getting jammed slammed in between the window. So you have that reoccurring gag. You also have the wire with a...
Yeah, trying to fix an air conditioner or something and touching
that
a hot wire.
That one, they go to the well a few times with. And the other one that's probably the most reoccurring is the ladder gag, where Vern is up on the roof.
For some reason.
Maybe he's cleaning the gutters.
Frisbee.
I don't know. But
Peeping Tom.
Your old buddy Ernest decides to climb up the ladder and... Again, say something, he pisses off Vern, and Vern pushes the ladder from the roof and causes Ernest to abandon ship.
Derek, is that what the P stood for, pervert?
It's power tool.
It was kicked around in, the meeting room, like,
The P is whatever it means to you, yes, right?
Exactly. Now, it can be Percival.
So, all these ads, I mean, I have some favorite ones, and I think the more we watched, we gained a little more insight. Ernest is an onion.
Yeah.
And
he stinks and makes me cry.
Each commercial just adds another layer, you know, or removes another layer.
That's what I meant to say.
However, yeah.
That's what I should have said.
If you remember right, there was one where he is in a swimming pool surrounded by dairy products.
Much dairy.
I believe you started laughing immediately.
I was laughing at the dairy. I couldn't believe the amount of products.
Take out the slack. Okay, Vern, here's the deal. If I can pull this off, if me, your old buddy Ernest, can pull this off, he will buy me a year's supply of quality check milk and ice cream. Is that it? Easy? A year's supply of them Primo quality check products, if I can pull this off. Okay. Edna? Got it! Edna! Turn left with the light!
A floaty around his midsection. He's got, I think, a hair cap and
he's
goggles.
He's ready for...
But at one point, he's supposed to be doing like a ski jump out of the swimming pool to win all this dairy
that's going
to go bad in month. And it's also sitting out in sunlight.
What is Ernest's understanding of dairy? That's what I want to know.
Vern
does not have proper refrigeration. So what he yells is, Edna, gun it. Edna is his wife.
Wait, what?
Ernest has a wife.
I thought his life partner was pork chop.
In the Ernest verse.
In the Ernest verse, original Ernest verse. That we're gonna get into, like,
we're talking like pre-crisis.
There's Ernest? Gonna be like identity crisis stuff going on,
which is technically accurate because this is all before 19.
I mean, there's a Spider-Verse animated movie coming out soon. Right. I'm wanting to see the
Miles Morales
animated movie.
It says Edna Wara was Ernest's second wife, according to the television commercials. And Hey Vern, it's Ernest. It's my family album, according to Ernest. Edna makes a great deep dish pie. Her middle initial is also said to be P in Ernest's
pussy.
That's why he married her. It was said to be P in his in Ernest's newsletter during the 1980s.
Oh, that's what
I'm not aware.
You probably got that newsletter if you signed up for the fan club for $5 in Nashville, Tennessee.
That was
included at the end of the video, which was released by Know What I Mean Home Video.
Right.
So
it's my greatest regret not writing into that PO box.
I mean, we could try it, but I think the letter's probably going to get returned.
Let's give it a letter office.
Yeah, the DLO.
Great 80s band. Or 70s prog rock, right?
That a great DLO. Great concept album.
One of the other, you know, like, it starts off with, you got your Sprite and your Mellow Yellow. Those were some of the bigger ones.
Yes.
You know, with the fresh taste of lime and the Mellow Yellow challenge.
I thought it was weird that
Mellow Yellow move.
If he was,
which one do I really want? Mellow Yellow or Mountain Dew? Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. One potato, two potato, three potato, four. Paper, rock, scissors. Why use all that mathematical, analytical analysis? I'll just pick the one I like the best. Make the Mellow Yellow move. Know what I mean?
If he's like, hey, I love the Mellow Yellow, like, he would go right at and say, you know, I hate Mountain Dew. Like, yeah, they were calling their competitors out by name in these commercials, you know? And that's something I don't feel like we see a lot anymore. It's Brand X.
Pepsi Challenge era.
You got the liberals pushifying and everything.
Who's this here?
Yo, I don't know. Society?
Popple World?
Pepsi Challenge.
What the hell?
You're going to find out what that is.
He was flicking his tongue a lot.
You're going to see that next month, my friend.
What in the hell?
That was a lot of tongue. That was a little pop of whirl.
Aggressive.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just going to throw it out there. Raise up for Brianna. Yeah.
Brianna is a lucky lady. Yeah. Oh, high five that shit.
I do a fantastic pop of whirl impression to keep. Harmony
keep it spicy
in the
bedroom.
Yeah, shake it up, shake it up, shake it up.
Doesn't like it when I make that noise.
So, Brianna, what do you want to do tonight? Give me the whirl.
Oh my goodness!
Whole new meaning, the drum roll, please.
So, he loves his dairy products.
Who doesn't?
He loves his citrus sodas.
Yeah.
Another thing that is thrown in is a Dr. Otto preview. Mm-hmm. Now, this was not included on the Greatest Hits VHS tape. This was exclusively for the Ernest Film Festival because Dr. Otto came out very shortly after the Ernest Film Festival.
This is the first feature film,
right? The first feature film, the full-length feature film.
It's called Dr. Otto,
but it is not,
and the what?
It is not an Ernest movie.
It is not.
It's no.
What's it called? It's called Dr. Otto and the
Gloom Beam. Yes.
So this is just like what people saying to, and obviously we'll dig more into it, but like, this is just people saying, hey, you know what, Jim, go nuts.
I believe it's a Cherry production.
Of course.
I mean, I don't know if you had more notes about these Cherry fellas.
Some notes, mostly Carton, about John
Carton
Cherry.
As well. I don't want
to exclude him. Yeah.
I didn't delve as much into the film since jumping on that.
I recently ordered a book written by that man called
A Bookie Wook?
The Keeper of the Clown. And I will be reading this soon. It says on the Amazon page, this is not for children. So I'm hoping there's some juicy stories.
We're finally going to get our E-Truth.
I've heard an interesting thing or two about Jim Varney himself. While being a sweet man, I've heard that he, you know, he had a different side to him as well.
Yeah,
don't we all?
Manic depression, is that what you're talking about?
Like, I think I had heard a story where someone had worked with him and it was a kind of a thing where he had pulled a shirt from someone and like stuck a knife through the shirt. So, but I mean, like, by all accounts, a good guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a nice guy, but I've punched a fucker.
Yeah. There you go.
You know, what happens? You know.
But there's that book, and then there's one written by his nephew.
His nephew, which is called The Importance of Being Earnest. It sounds familiar,
I don't like that title, I don't think.
But I'm going to be reading both of those soon. They're on their way. I should have them in a couple days, and I will consume them. And hopefully bring you guys tons of Ernest and Varney fun facts each and every episode, because I know you guys aren't going to look it up yourselves. So it's my cross to bear. Yeah. I will be your Ernest martyr.
So-and-so.
The cross is a T. This is your E to bear.
I want to make the Vernonites happy. Yeah. So this is what I must do.
Truly you are the King of Kings.
But so... Also, Ernest, he's got some, his pizza eating skills are a little different. He does an ad, which,
I think it was a Toyota ad, or something about...
It was a Toyota ad, yes.
About pizza economics?
Pizza economics regarding car sales, which I know a thing or two about.
Yeah, lay it on us.
You are a car salesman.
Well, here at Mike Murphy Ford, you get the whole day.
Oh,
pizza.
You're actually given the location. Okay.
How has pizza played a part in your day-to-day selling cars?
Well,
Eric?
We get it catered on Saturdays, which is truly delicious. The carb coma usually sits in about 1:30, so you make sure you go back to parts and hide and sleep in the back.
That, I think, is almost the exact answer I thought you would give.
It was. You know, I had premeditated it.
You knew it was coming.
I knew it was coming. I mean, you know, looking at these commercials, I'm like, I got to be ready. You know, I have experience with pizza. I have experience with selling cars. I have experience
with pizza. I
have so much experience with it.
I'm a pizza boy.
I'm a big guy. I like a pizza. I pat to my belly.
Yeah, he was using the pizza as a metaphor to show how much you would save at this place, and then he proceeded to consume it.
He picked up about a third of the pizza.
Oh, yeah. It was near half.
I think it was one bite, and then proceeds to just like do a weird dance and like shimmy his shoulders around while not chewing. He just keeps his teeth on that bite.
Well, I think if you're doing 25 commercials a day,
you gotta nurse the pizza.
Yeah, you can't
just like, because eventually you'll be like, oh God, baby Jesus.
He'll be Ernest Double X World before you know it. I think he's doing that. So.
Like, hi everybody, have you tried new Sprite?
Ooh.
He's gonna have a fat Orson Welles voice.
And he also loves ice cream from Brahms.
Yeah,
and we had an alien commercial
Brahms
where.
That was a bizarre one.
An alien who looked very similar to Ernest.
Some would say identical.
Came and said,
antennae.
People of Earth and Vernon. Like, I don't know if you guys caught that or not.
People of Earth and Vernon.
And then he rubs ice cream cones on his face.
On his cheeks.
What? Who
Yum.
Is?
Yum.
He was a name.
We are the proverbial Vern, but who is actual
the actual Vern?
Do we know that?
Who's the person behind the camera filming them?
No, just like who is he supposed to be talking?
He's supposed to be his neighbor.
Just his neighbor.
Because Ernest is supposed to be that annoying know-it-all guy. That everybody knows one of. I may be Ernest for somebody.
If you don't know an Ernest, you are the Ernest. Right?
Exactly.
But they're the person that they're always coming over and driving you nuts or
they
something.
They got a better way to do something. They need to borrow something.
I suppose you're doing it that way.
Yeah, they ramped it up to the nth degree.
Yeah.
And that is who Ernest is. And people just adored these commercials.
Well, he's a very working class man child, right?
Yeah, he wears this. He has a uniform.
Well, speaking of what he wears, I felt like this kind of style has almost come back around. He's very hipster in his painted on jeans, right?
And the denim jacket.
Maybe not so much
denim
the vest.
Denim vest. But almost a Canadian tuxedo,
exactly.
But not quite.
Looking good there, Denim Dan.
Yeah.
but he kind of looks like a hipster, minus his personality, I would say.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll be the new hipster.
Yeah.
The, like, Appalachia good old boy.
The Borscht Belt hipster.
Would that be more like Smoky Mountain? Yeah.
Hey,
man, you got some cloves.
Hey, Vern.
You heard the new Arcade Fire?
Vern, you got some American spirits. You know what I mean?
That new Arcade Fire.
They made a disco record. It's weird.
Yeah, I'd be interested.
Don't even get me started.
This is early
80s. I said, 80s, don't even get me started.
Or I will pass. Okay. But this is the commercial of the early 80s, and then you watch him through Ernest in the Army, and he, again, kind of like Pee-wee Herman, he just looks the same.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's the same uniform, outfit that he wears, like a cartoon character.
Gray t-shirt.
But, like, age-wise, he almost looks the same, which, really, in as much as he smoked, like, that can age you. How old do you think Ernest was during these commercials?
Well, we could find out really quick.
Oh, just shoot. I could find out, too. Okay. But, like, what do you think?
I was going
to... supposed to be, like, a 30-something.
Yeah. He's supposed to be probably 30s. Around our age. Yeah. At the beginning.
Yeah. He was born in 49, and he was 50 when he died. Which, again, cigarettes will age you quite a bit. Because you think, oh, that guy is 60.
So he was 30 in 1980 when he filmed his first commercial.
Yeah.
So he is, I am now at the age of Ernest Goes to Camp.
Yeah. How does that feel? Well said.
So, yeah, he was early 30s. But, again, you know, when you're a rubber-faced actor who can just... pull these faces, and you don't age as fast, I guess. I don't know. There's some actors that have always, I think, looked old. Steve Martin with his white hair.
He turned gray at 8.
He kind of always looked.
John Hamm came out of his mother with a Manhattan and
lantern jaw.
Exactly.
And apparently a big.
Everyone says John Hamm's got a huge cock.
John Hamm is a well endowed man.
On that note,
let's do a hamcast, huh?
Hamcast, yes.
Ham.
Ham.
I want all the ham.
One thing I was very, perplexed about, there's an ad where he is rummaging through what looks like the antique store that you used to manage, and he's rattling off prices and chucking them across the way, and he's promoting a local Price is Right. I only know one Price is Right, and that is hosted by Bob Barker.
And now, exactly. Drew Carey.
But Bob Barker.
Drew Carey does a good job.
He does, but he's not Bob Barker.
It is weird to think they're a local version of these.
Right? They franchise it out? Like,
I don't know. I don't know.
Somebody just say, fuck it, we're doing it.
We're in the Midwest. You're not making it out to California to do the Showcase Showdown, but you can do it here, I guess. You can do
the Showcase Showdown over these lawn chairs from IGA up the road.
Everything's so accessible and, like, small now, and we have information instantly. The world, I think, was a lot bigger back then to where regionally you could have these things. Regionally, Ernest did all these commercials for places, you know, that we had never heard of. And so I guess it stands to reason that there could be local versions of these game shows, I guess.
Yeah.
But not that I knew of.
Yeah, that was bizarre to me.
Another commercial that followed that, we got as close to a risque commercial as we're going to get. We had Ernest shower commercial.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah.
And we learn Ernest is a never nude.
Arrested Development.
He is wearing the denim vest in the shower. I believe he still had the hat on as well.
Well, Tobias Fumke in Arrested Development was a never nude, and he wore denim cutoffs.
Yes, exactly.
So is denim part of being a never nude?
I think
Ernest is the forefather of the never nude movement.
He's the OG, like, huh?
Yeah.
I can lose the vest for Tobias, but sorry, got to keep them Daisy Dukes rocking in the shower. Praise be to Ernest.
A never nude.
Ernest was a never nude.
I did make note of that. I didn't make that connection to Arrested Development, though.
And then we got into, like, the Christmas commercials, saw Vern. The holidays bring out a lot of tense feelings in people, and apparently Vern is susceptible just like everybody else, because he straight up tried to murder Ernest in one of those ads where Ernest comes down from the chimney
bearing gifts,
an assortment of dairy products of empty sour cream tubs, and he is hanging upside down, and Vern pulls out a lighter to light the log under Ernest's head.
repeatedly, and Ernest keeps blowing out, like, no, no.
Please don't kill me. Please don't kill me.
And
Merry Christmas.
That seemed very out of character. Like, Vern seems aggressive at times.
Yeah, yeah.
But not to the point where, like, I want to give you third-degree burns.
Well, a man can only be pushed so far, I think.
And by that point, we had seen 40 minutes of pushing.
And again, 100 commercials versus thousands of commercials.
Yeah.
What has Vern been through?
And we're only seeing
Vern like has seen
several,
some shit.
We're only seeing like a brief window. Who knows what's going on?
Yeah, this has been going on for
off
years.
Screen.
Yeah,
you know, this was probably year three.
We're getting
of the ads.
I can't say that I
would. I'm so tired of the shit.
I would probably try to kill him too.
Are you kidding me? Yeah. If my nephew comes downstairs too much, I'm ready to eat his face.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like a knife.
Chianti and fava beans.
Oh, we're drinking. Yeah, we're not drinking Chianti.
I'm sorry. I just grabbed one of your beers.
That's all right. Go for it.
Do you have any Chianti? Can we have some Chianti?
I almost brought
tea.
Can I have some candy?
Candy? Yes, we can have some candy.
Can I have some fine candy?
Yeah. I've actually got some conversation hearts from Valentine's Day that I got perfect. For a quarter, a whole quarter.
I'll take
Dollar General.
Now, yep. Don't go spending this quarter on one player.
The finest of all candies.
Now,
ooh, that was a good commercial, wasn't it?
Whoa. Which one?
When his face was candy.
Happy Valentine's Day, Ver. Hand me that caramel.
That's the one that stuck out the most.
We're going to get to that a little bit later. We're still kind of working our way through, but that was at the end. And again, that's one of my favorites. We had the War on Weeds, which saw Ernest with some plastic scissors.
Yes.
Out in Dallas, because there's a War on Weeds. I'm still very unsure what this war is.
It was like and the city first, of Dallas. It was like Clean Dallas or something.
I thought it was about like marijuana at first.
No, it was legitimately, I think, about weeds.
And then later we had the non-smoking PSA.
He drops
and,
weed again.
And he called, you got that weed hanging out of your mouth, but he's meaning tobacco.
Tobacco.
Not marijuana.
Gosh, Vern, you trying to kill us all? Walking around all the time with that weed hanging out of your mouth? Don't you know how deadly that thing is? You're just asking for a case of the Big C, Cancer City, Chemotherapy Hotel. I care about you, Vern. That's why I'm warning you. You better give up them cigarettes, buddy. Or the groundhogs will be bringing you your mail. Know what I mean?
Because I don't think Ernest knows what weed is.
He's that innocent and pure.
He is. Like, childlike. Vern, what is that? Let me try that.
Gotta live Bob out here, Vern. I am tripping balls. Let me climb that ladder. This tastes like Lyman.
Lyman. Oh, boy. That sounds like something a reggae song would say, right?
Lyman.
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 Hey, man. Big time.
Big slap time
the,
Lyman.
Slap the bass, Lyman. Lyman. Yeah, man.
Now, we keep learning all these things about Ernest. We learned something about Vern in one of the other ads when they're doing some weightlifting training. Hoover, Derek, and I both,
Hoover, comma, Derek.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I'm doing it like alphabetically.
I'm just going to go full on.
I know.
I was just going to ask if I could
go
for you. I'm sorry.
We noticed in the background what looked to be a manga anime robot.
Yes.
Robot.
Yes.
Of sorts.
You robots
need at Vern's house. And we knew it wasn't Voltron. We knew it wasn't Robotech.
No. None of these things.
We knew it wasn't the GoBots.
Yeah, no.
Battle of the Planets. What we found out, it was Shogun Warriors.
Yes.
Vern is a huge Shogun Warriors
He's
fan.
Digging on the Shogun.
There were not one, not two, but three Shogun Warrior
you
figures.
The third one? I just saw the two.
I saw two as well.
There was two, but then in another commercial later, there was a third.
Oh, a third robot.
A third robot.
I was thinking I saw at least two commercials where it was filmed in the same spot.
Yes.
Okay. Which is a reoccurring thing.
There were three robots.
Okay.
Those are probably worth
Shot
something
on side
now.
At the home of John Cherry III.
The third. Mm-hmm. Well, one of his kids, the fourth, must have been a Shogun Warrior fan.
Who could blame him?
Yes.
It was before my time. Before my
time. Good job, Japanese.
The Cherry family also evidently a fan of Snowflake the Gorilla. You've seen on their refrigerator.
You said that.
I didn't know what that was.
I didn't know.
I thought you made that up.
Snowflake the Gorilla was very...
Is that like Coco, the sign language gorilla?
Educate us, Derek.
Snowflake the Gorilla was a very, very rare white... Pretty much albino, with the exception of his eyes.
Were they red?
No, they were blue.
Oh, okay.
albino gorilla discovered night. In like the 70s.
It was a Hitler youth gorilla.
An Aryan chimp.
He was. Hitler would have dug on this freaking gorilla hard.
Hitler would be down with this primate.
Oh my god. I'm a gorilla. I'm a blue eyes. Oh! Das ist nicht eine Bubi.
Is that Simpsons? Yes. When he's on the phone? Yeah. Yeah, I can see. I can see, you know, the world crumbling around Hitler, 1945, right? He escapes a bunker somehow and goes on to try again to take over the world, this time.
Thwarted by Ernest.
Well, yeah.
Yes.
Ernest saves the world.
Ernest ends the Holocaust.
And he battles an army of Hitler's albino chimps.
That shit.
What a great movie. It does write itself.
Well, what a great film. No, Snowflake the Gorilla was an actual gorilla, lowland gorilla, silverback gorilla that was discovered in the early 70s.
Okay.
National Geographic did a huge article Centerfold. On it. He was very tasteful spread, though. Very tasteful. But it was like national news. It was worldwide news. The world was fascinated with this gorilla. Lived a very long time, but his height of popularity was the 70s. Kind of into the 80s.
Okay.
And that...
They made these little sculptures and figurines of him.
There was t-shirts and, like, pseudo-Hummels, and, like, people were obsessed with this fucking monkey. And,
like, not... It was a simple time.
Yeah.
The only... He was only surpassed by Coco the gorilla that could do sign language and had a kid.
I remember Coco.
And Harambe.
Yeah. She was on Reading Rainbow.
R.I.P.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's poor why one that out for was Harambe. On the fridge.
Dicks out for Harambe.
Dicks out for Harambe.
You say Coco was on Reading Rainbow?
I swear to God. That's where I was introduced to Coco.
Did Coco, like, sign language one of the books during the reading section?
You don't have to take my word for it.
and then ripped a man's genitals off.
She said, back to you, Jordy LaForge. So we follow that up with a commercial that features Ernest coming out of the tent doing the Dr. Otto laugh, which we're going to hear a lot in a couple months. Mm. And he was pitching what we thought was called trout fruit drink.
Yeah.
Which we were all very confused about. Mm. What's the trout fruit and why do we want to drink it?
Vern! Hey, Vern! It's me, Vern, your old buddy Ernest. And look, I got everything ready for our big camp out in your backyard. See, I got everything. Every delicious flavor of trout fruit drink. Because I know it's your favorite, you don't want to be without it. Got your orange, got your grape, got your jungle juice, and got your lemonade. I didn't remember everything, Vern. I didn't remember pest control. Did you remember pest control?
I'll have a second glass.
It turns out it was Trouth. T-R-A-U-T-H.
If that's your last name, just pick something else.
Yeah,
don't go with trout and then put like fruit drink. I'm thinking of like you're getting like you're squeezing a fish into a glass.
Yeah.
I don't want to drink that.
Just freshly squozen from the finest of rainbow trouts.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
And now I have the image of my head of Ren and Stimpy.
Of course, were they squeezing the eggs out?
With the fish eggs.
That's where my eyes.
We had another Ernest exercise commercial where you made an observation.
I did.
You did. You were kind of. Or
I
no,
it was
the spinning merry-go-round. It wasn't the weightlifting one. That no, Ernest
however,
was.
Dude had some guns.
Yeah.
Like, you got your tickets?
There was a little bit of little veinage popping out of the biceps and holding on to his sandwich in one hand and the merry-go-round in the other, which he then shortly fell off of.
Yes.
And the camera pans back around one revolution to show him still laying there on the ground, which I thought was a nice touch.
I can't go around and around on rides like that. I don't know about you guys.
I think when you're a kid, it's a lot easier. But as you get older, your equilibrium kind of gets a little off. I don't know if it's your BMI or...
You don't like to turn around?
Period. I don't like to turn around quickly in the kitchen.
Well, I will let the listener... I'm going to let the Vernonites know that Derek has always had a... Some mobility issues.
That is
there was one time
untrue.
He sat on the toilet in our apartment for a little bit too long.
Oh, you
is this a hemorrhoid story?
Reading a book.
No. Okay,
like he would take a hardcover coffee table book, and he would read it That's how long he camped out in the bathroom.
You could finish a novel, a novella in that time, huh?
Yeah, and I read War and Peace.
He sat too long, and then he stood up, got lightheaded, and fell over, but grabbed the towel rack and ripped it out of the wall.
You're not under the influence or anything, right?
No,
this is just too long on the toilet.
So your legs had gone numb, and you tried to get up.
This is the third show of his that fucking towel rack has come up on. My first Drunken Lullaby.
I was really concerned I wasn't going to get our security deposit back.
I think so. I went to Menards after I got the feeling back in my legs. I went to Menards. I bought a towel rack. I replaced it. It came up on Drunk in the Movies. And now here we are. Very earnestly, you mentioned it.
Well, you know what that makes me say?
Huh?
Sweet acophadilus.
Sweet acophadilus.
Isn't that that was that milk?
Oh no, it was acid. No, it starts with the word ass. I was like, is he swearing?
Acidophilus.
Some pine state sweet acidophilus milk.
Acidophilus.
I think it's an STD that was very very rampant in the Nashville area in the early 80s.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know what this was.
It was terrible.
The commercial was called Old Tum Tum. And Vern, like, obviously, again, you know, we are seeing the point of view of Vern. So we're seeing the camera go back and forth. And he's like, hey, you working on your old tum tum? Like, so he's like, he's doing sit ups almost.
Get working on that old tum tum.
He's like, try this sweet acidopolos milk. And I had never heard of that fucking shit in my life. And apparently, I think it's like a digestive dairy or a yogurt.
Digestive?
Yeah. I think that has to be
it
what that is.
Helps you with your poops.
Milks of magnesia. Yeah.
So, but I kept thinking, he's like, is he saying ass? He was not. It was acidopolis or something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was a weird thing to have a commercial for.
I agree.
Digestive dairy product.
You know, the elderly with digestive problems need pitchers.
And they
too.
Love Ernest.
They all look to Ernest for answers.
Exactly. He's a kind boy.
You know who else they look to? Dr. Red Duke. That guy really knows his stuff.
He
did the index finger bridge across the upper lip mustache, much like Chris Farley in Tommy Boy.
Oh, my God.
To where I think Chris Farley is doing a tip of the cap to Jim Varney.
Well, I will say that wasn't a mustache as much as a cigar.
Yeah.
Oh, it was a cigar.
Oh my God.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
That's the best part.
Respect.
Neener, neener.
Here comes the
new guys puking his guts out.
All because you want to save some pennies.
Yeah. But yeah, Dr. Red Duke, you
got the bathroom, Daddy.
You got a real charge out of that one.
I did because
it was unexpected.
And, well, no, it's one. It was unexpected. Two. This is fucking stupid. We used to do mustaches in college all the time. Like, we'd get drunk, and, like, the girls would draw the tiniest of mustaches.
And now that's a hipster tattoo.
That to me is like a bull's. Like, the guys who wear shorts in the middle of winter when it's, like, no degrees outside.
Yeah.
And then the people who have tattoos of mustaches on their finger.
Fuck off.
I'm like, thank you so much for identifying yourself as a fucking retard.
I don't have to, talk to you.
I've seen that. I remember a while back.
Is, finger tattoos are a bad idea because the skin is so thin. Those are going to wear and fade a matter of like a year or so.
We were drunk. It might have still been called Gorman's. It might have already switched to the Field House. But like, we were drunk and just getting just...
Gorman's is a retail location.
No, Gorman's, sir. So like Tim and I were like making these kind of mustaches. Just like drew underwear on our fingers and then eventually went with Handlebar and did one of these numbers. Yeah. So like, I looked at it and I was like, motherfucker.
I remember once, a few years ago, I went to the bank. I was like getting a loan for something. And the woman, they's like, hey, go to this cubicle and talk to this lady. So I did that. And the lady was probably my age or a little younger. And she had a tattoo of a mustache on her finger. I was like, who the fuck is helping me at the bank that they have tattoos of mustaches on their index finger?
I have to cover tattoos at the bank.
Which ones?
All of them.
Don't you just wear long sleeves?
I do, but I could wear short sleeves. But, you know, I got music notes
and
a microphone sticking out. Duct tape.
Do you really?
Yeah.
That's more acceptable?
No.
Okay.
I just wear long sleeves.
All right.
Yeah.
I finally just got, like, screw this. And, like, I brandish them. If it's too hot of a day.
Yeah.
Come summertime.
You got your Fiji out.
Got my frets at and yo.
That's why all my tattoos are in my pubic region, because I'm not showing that in public.
Nice.
So. Anyway,
what are you going to do?
You still got that torpedo on your dick that says welcome aboard?
I have that on the top, and underneath I have the Kokiri sword from Legend of Zelda. And then when my penis becomes erect, it turns into the Master Sword.
Nice. So, like what you did there.
A little something for the ladies.
I kind of want to get an anchor on my balls, and then like right above where the boosh would be, because I'm clearly going to wax it.
Is that Bush Mighty?
It's gonna say anchors away.
Come on, Greg.
See, I've drank Bailey's out of a whole shoe. Malaka.
On my balls, I have the blind woman of justice. So as my nuts go back and forth, and she'll be judging.
You've always been a trendsetter. Yeah. Ever since I've known you, you've always been ahead of the curve.
This is going on in my head, man.
Well, we wrapped things up with some of our favorites. It was the blooper reel. I am a sucker for a good blooper reel. Mm. Anytime I watch a sitcom on DVD, such as like The Office or Parks and Rec, blooper reels are legendary.
Oh, yes.
I think the same about The Office.
How I Met Your Mother, those ones weren't as good. But
that's the best part about buying a Judd Apatow movie, the gag reels.
Yeah. So this was... It wasn't as vulgar as like the Parks and Rec
not nearly
blooper reels, but they were pretty funny. We start off with one of my favorite bits, the Valentine's gag.
This is the best thing in the
Ernest.
This is the best thing.
Ernest disembodied head in a Kevin Clark abnormally large box of chocolates. Oh,
yeah. Wow, that's a deep hole.
I'm just throwing one out for our
that's
friends.
A deep cut B side, right?
It's
there.
It's like a table they cut a hole in, and then a candy box they cut a hole in, and his head's through the table and the box, surrounded
and he
by
wants
chocolates.
A caramel, and also caramel. He wants Vern to be his.
Be mine.
What is the commercial for?
Happy Valentine's Day, Vern. Have me that caramel. Happy Valentine's Day, Vern. Hand me that caramel. Be mine, Vern. Hand me that caramel.
What are they trying to sell or make us aware of?
Because we saw the Easter one where he had the chocolate.
He eviscerates the rabbit's face.
He bites the eyes off and he's...
I start with the eyes.
Yeah, I start with the eyes. And then he open mouth chews the hollowed bunny for a while. And that's it. And then we had the Christmas ad.
And the Easter one was before the blooper, so I'm left to think he's just letting us know that Easter is coming.
Yeah. Apparently they would buy ad time just to have Ernest
wish
everybody.
Don't forget about what Christ did for you now. I was
just,
Hey, Jesus, hand me that cross.
Know what I mean? Well, the Christmas ones were like related to the news station, because remember the whole news,
right.
News team assembled at
yes.
Vern's house.
Right. Bill Baeza.
Yes.
Great name. Great anchor.
I wonder what he's up to. Bill, if you're listening, send us an email at seeingernest@gmail.com. We would love to hear what you and the rest of the news team are up to.
Hope to hear from you, Bill.
Yeah.
He has had some great hair.
I think that Valentine's Day one was my favorite, though. They kept showing him. Because the cover was on the box, and then they would take the cover off, and Ernest is just there, like, just chewing some sort of chocolate, asking for caramel.
Yeah.
What was the context of this?
There is none. It's absurd. And that went on for quite a bit. Another one that they repeated quite a bit, and this was another regular Ernest commercial, was the pancake bit.
Ooh. Yes, yeah, that was funny, too.
That they would do, like, the purity... products or like the
milk or something.
Yeah. And he's flipping the flapjacks up to the ceiling.
Seemingly.
And then he gets the plate and he's like, pancakes on parade.
Pancakes is ready.
And they're supposed to fall onto the plate, and he pulls the plate back over his shoulder, and they just can't get that final pancake to land on the plate properly.
The finished product, they gave up on the fourth one. Like, we're sticking with the three.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not going to work.
The thing I found funny about all these outtakes is Ernest is very clearly cursing. And
but they bleep it.
They do. He said shit a couple times.
Or the kids.
But, yeah, I mean, yes, they did bleep it. But, I mean, as wholesome an image as he has, it's funny to me that they would even include these things. I'm sure there's plenty of outtakes of him goofing around or having fun that do not involve him swearing. So I thought that was the one thing that I found kind of like, oh, that's kind of off-brand to me.
Yeah. Anyway. He's a real guy.
He's a real person, he's I guess. Yeah.
Salt of the earth, good old boy. Were there any other commercials that I forgot about or glossed over.
There's
that,
too many
that
to
you
count,
had
but...
that you had made notations of.
Oh, I made so many
wanted
notes.
to speak on before we move on.
Oh, I think we hit the high points for sure. I mean, I made a lot of notes in here, but I think we definitely hit the ones that stood out the most. And
okay.
Yeah, for sure.
So something we're going to do with every show every month is the Vern count. And that means I have to sit and watch this and count every time Ernest says Vern or Vernon. And I think I got the worst out of the way on episode one.
Oh,
because
really?
Yeah. He said it exactly 300 times.
So you're talking Whoa. A minimum, like, spaced out, three per commercial.
Three Verns per commercial.
Yeah. That's a lot of Verns.
I mean, he opens with it. Hey, Vern, let me tell you something about Sprite.
Yeah.
You know, it's got the great taste of lime, and it'll be real refreshing for you, Vern. And then he'll end on a Vern.
Don't push
well.
This ladder over, please, Vern.
Yeah.
Vern. Nope. And,
but there's some bits, like, where he was stuck in the ice cream freezer
yeah,
in the
yeah.
store where Vern puts the broom.
Oh, he kept saying the name
and
over
he's like,
and
Vern,
over.
Yeah.
Vern, you forgot. Vern, your broom. You know, and yep. so, like, yep. that makes up for the ones that only have, like, two.
Yeah.
And then there were a couple where there was no dialogue at all. The Purity Ice Cream, where he did the jazz hands and
the tap dancing. Yeah, yeah.
And I believe there was a Guy's Potato Chips one where it was like, oh, gone. That was the only dialogue of
I
the whole
I want to find
thing.
Out if that is still a brand.
Guy's Potato
I
Chips.
Love, one
that freshness seal?
Chips.
Yeah.
And Shauna's nickname is the Potato Chip Kid.
Okay. So. He's the Bottle Cap Kid.
I am. I am the Bottle Cap Kid.
That's true.
Cross promote. She doesn't really do anything. But
I think her and I are going to start a new podcast.
So we had 300 Verns for this episode. Like I said, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that is probably the high water mark for
I would
any
say
of
so.
These episodes.
Yeah, I got a feeling they'll taper off.
We have another ad collection coming up in a couple months.
Oof.
That I will do my damnedest and count the Verns, but
even the Lord's
I
work.
I don't think it'll be 300 again. But now we set out we wanted to have our favorite lines of the show. We're going to do this every month as well and do our finest Ernest Power Tool Worrell impression and say our favorite line of the episode. Derek, I will start with you.
Oh, yes.
What was your winner for your favorite dialogue?
Well, it was the one you both had mentioned it.
Okay.
We were very alarmed about all the dairy
yes.
out there, the pool one. And he just
Take out the slack.
it moved me. Take out the slack.
And then yeah.
And the gun it.
Exactly.
And off they go.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
A good commercial.
So we got levels. That was your favorite
Pretty
then. Jason, how about you?
Just in this hour long commercial cavalcade we saw, you see that Ernest will sometimes manipulate or kind of screw up words. Entremeneur was one in there.
Your old buddy Ernest, noted entremeneur. Yes.
I mentioned,
yeah.
Totally reminds me of something our friend Blake mm-hmm. will do repeatedly on Broken Funny Bone, and also he's your co-host, co-pilot on Couch Pilots, and that's something that you and I have had a discussion about, where we still aren't sure if he's doing it intentionally all
I
the time.
I think he is. I think he
plays it off like he's not.
That is
which,
the genius.
That's the comedic genius.
That is the genius of Blake.
I mean, the man pronounces pretzels.
Yeah, yeah.
There's
a variety of things that he says.
And we'll argue.
Yeah.
Argue you to death about it.
I now see what a pretzel is in my head.
That's the genius of Blake.
It's salted in pretzel.
But yeah, when I first heard that in the entrepreneur, I'm like, that's a total Blake line. Blake would appreciate that.
Entrepreneur. But that's not even the line I'm meaning, though. Like, he says, though you had referenced it before when he had the mustache over there. He was in some sort of dentist office. And honestly, for that one, I don't know what that commercial was for. But he says, hey, Vern, looks like you need some mouth-to-mouth resignation.
Yeah.
hold your tongue down.
Vern, looks like you need some mouth-to-mouth resignation. Hold your tongue down.
Urs is about to go tongue deep into Vern.
And he goes open mouth over the
oh,
lens.
Yeah,
the lens.
And that's your fade
it.
To black.
I think that was my favorite line.
Okay. Man, there's so many that I love, but I think the one I'm going to go with is for Convenient Food Mart.
Okay.
Where he's outside. He's got this, like, fluffy pink scarf on.
Is that where he's drinking the coffee?
I believe earmuffs. And he's talking about his convenient cup, which is a large, you know, you would see them in the 80s. Every gas station had them. And it was a refillable mug that you could get at this gas station. And he talked about every morning he had to have his convenient cup of coffee because
it's so hot, and black, and rich, and good.
And
that's how I like my coffee.
And then he ends it by going,
I'm moving
in my convenient cup.
I'm moving.
Did you not do that at a party once?
I think I'll have myself a donut. And that is the end of the commercial. Oh, that is one of my favorites. I loved it when I was younger.
You remember that?
I may have.
I think it's something that is still... Strong memories of you. Like a stupid song came on, you're like, moving.
It's quite possible that happened.
You're not a coffee drinker, which is funny.
I am not, but I love that. You know, and there's other lines, you know, that we have quoted through the show, but yeah.
Pop me another one of them bad boys.
That was one I enjoyed as well, just because I could, you know, make the beer reference. But, I mean, that's the Ernest Film Festival.
Yeah, a lot of wholesome commercials, primarily starring just one man.
Yeah.
Right?
And what I appreciate, one, they're done, like we said, point of view. It's him performing to a camera. These are 30-second ads.
Yep.
His comedic timing is flawless on a lot of these because he's got just the pacing and the beats done brilliantly to get them to be the exact length they need to be, because sometimes there is, you know, a little bit of a breathing room space between lines, and you're also playing to Vern, like he will interact sometimes.
Well,
but just, I mean, he sells them so well
for being like no budget.
Pro.
These are pretty good for no budget commercials.
They still hold up. Like, how many other commercials are you going to watch from the early 1980s that you're still going to laugh at that were supposed to be funny?
Right.
Like, you'll laugh at, you know, like a Double Mint commercial that's not supposed to be funny and be like, oh my God. Like,
super cheesy.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Everyone was skiing in the 80s.
Yeah. That was Juicy Fruit, I think, actually. Yeah. But
So many Jeeps.
So many
You wouldn't understand. So
the Western Seaboard was littered with Jeeps.
But yeah, the humor holds up. And
kayakers.
Part of that is just Jim's comedic acting ability.
Right.
And just his... the crafting of the character and selling it, and I don't know, like, I just, it's endearing but funny, but he's also, you can tell he's annoying, like the one, the Melia, like, I bet you'd like one. Yeah, I bet you would like a drink of this, but you're not gonna get one.
Hey, Vern. Whew, it sure is hot up here, Vern. I bet you'd like a cold, smooth Melia right now, would you? Yeah, I just bet you would.
You know,
well, it's timeless.
Yeah.
When you think about it from an advertising standpoint. Because, like, you, I mean, you see them on Facebook and stuff all the time. The little thing, oh my God, how'd they make these ads? Blah, 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 blah. And there's even stuff, ads from the 80s, 90s, even in the 2000s that are wildly dated. Like, well, like the Juicy Fruit ones.
Right.
Like, God damn it. Nobody was windsurfing
so much.
That much.
Neon. Yeah.
Yeah. And, it's so dated. That's simple. That's simple, it's accessible, everyone has an annoying neighbor. Everybody has somebody who comes next door and is like, boy, you ought to check this out. Man, it's great. Oh, mm-hmm. boy. Okay. Hey, what you doing in here? Everybody has that
person. So he's tapping into something that we all experience.
We can all say Larry the Cable Guy is a wannabe Ernest.
He's a piss-poor Ernest. He is the Moon Knight to Ernest's Batman.
Wow,
there,
look at that.
I said it.
Look at
shots,
that.
Shots fired.
You have revealed yourself to us, nerd.
Triggered. I got a friend by the name of Matt Lappy who's gonna take a very
umbrage.
He's gonna take umbrage.
Well, he
that.
Can friggin' hang out with my friend Heath, who was going to be like you.
Moon and Night.
Moon Night.
Wow, look at that.
Like, but, how could you? So how dare you?
It was these commercials that made a very big section of America fall in love with Ernest and propelled him to the national spotlight. He was doing spots on Good Morning America with Joan London, which I have shared to the Facebook page. He was doing like, you know, like 60 Minutes or 2020, you know, like those kind of shows. Sure. He was doing these interviews all about just these commercials. And they thought he was just some... They thought he was Ernest.
Some
and
hit,
he's like,
yeah.
No, man, I'm, you know, a classically trained actor. I've done Shakespeare, and this is just a job, but I'm a super talented guy and a jack of all trades, and this is just what's working for me. And in one of those interviews, he talks about hoping that the Ernest character doesn't become too much to where he's Adam Wested and he gets typecast. We will again see how that plays out as the shows go on, but yeah, that pretty much wraps up, I think, our first show here on the importance of seeing Ernest.
I'm glad that I saw Ernest today.
Yeah,
as am I.
Yeah,
it felt good.
I think everybody should be glad, including all the Vernonites out there. Mm. So, yeah, I guess. It's the 15th. That's when we're releasing this. March 15th. You can tune in next month on April 15th. We're going to watch Hey Vern, It's My Family Album. And again, that's another one. If you want a head start, you got a month to check it out before we're back here with our little rundown and you can join in. So I guess that's really about it. So I guess we'll just say, golly, Bob, howdy, Vern. And we will bid you guys adieu. See ya.